church family. Thank you, Lock Haven Baptist Church, for joining me this morning in the pastor's study. We're certainly glad that you're here. We pray that you've had a good week in the Lord, and it's good to see God's hand at work. Let's join our hearts and our minds in prayer, particularly remembering Sister Jeanette this morning, as Brother Bill is with the Lord today. He died yesterday of heart failure, and it's a difficult time for Sister Jeanette. I'm sure December would have been 69 years they had been married. So he made his 90th birthday. Good friend, good man of God. So let's pray for Sister Jeanette. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We pray, God, you'd bless as we meet this morning through Facebook Live. We pray, God, that you would be in control of the technology that is before us. Lord, we depend upon service providers, internet providers, apps and things of that nature, Lord, to be able to have service together. And so we ask you, God, that you would help it to stream well and clear. Lord, we do ask you that you'd please bless Sister Jeanette this morning. God, comfort her heart. Help her to be still and know that you are God. We love the family and we pray for them. And this is a most difficult time to lose someone to death. And so, God, we pray that with all comfort that we could offer, you would comfort her heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to see if we cannot get the choir to sing for us this morning. Let's see how this goes. Listen as they sing. Amen. I want to know more about Jesus in that heavenly city. That is a wonderful choir song, and boy, they did a good job on that. I can't wait until we get back together so we can get our choirs working and singing together and praising God. Sister Stacy had asked if we would send the address for Sister Jeanette. If you would please text my wife, Sister Kim, she would do that. I don't want to post it on Facebook there. So if you'll text her, I'm sure she'll get it to you and help you be able to get a car to her. Let's have some announcements this morning. Brother Jim had texted me and told me that his mom is doing a little bit better, a little stronger, still with us. So continue to be in prayer for that. That's a good announcement. Next online service will be Wednesday, 6:30 with Sister Dyer and Jared. 7 o'clock, Pastor Study. Saturday, 3 o'clock, prayer time with Sister Kim. Now, I know that we've had a little bit of troubles with coming in and out and pausing and things of that nature. You just have to be patient, and if you can't watch it all the way through then, just go back and rewatch it, because I'm sure the internet providers are overloaded just with everybody that's staying home, everybody on their services and doing live services and things of that nature. So remember, Wednesday, 6:30, Sister Dyer and Jared with the Bible stories time. 7 o'clock, Pastor Study. Saturday, 3 o'clock, prayer time with Sister Kim. Now, that's on her Facebook page, so check in on that and there. And then I have a wonderful announcement that I would like to present to the church. And I will be putting out more information on this through our texting, and I'll post it on the church Facebook page later. But I'm pleased to announce, through prayer and counsel and looking to God, our first in-person service will be May 3rd at 11 o'clock. We'll do only the 11 o'clock morning service only. I do understand there will still be some that are not comfortable coming, so we will continue to live stream it for you that are not. But I believe we're on a portion of this where we as a church can come back and be, and have a time where we can start meeting. So that is May 3rd, 11 o'clock. We will have an in-person service here at the church. And I saw somebody was not too happy with that there. But we are going to have to trust God and be careful. If you're sick, stay home. If you have a fever, if you've been around somebody with fever, stay home there. If you're not comfortable coming, that is quite all right. We're not going to belittle you. You can stay home, watch it live there. Brother Bill and Brother Josh are working hard to get internet inside the church so that we can do it live. And so that is what we're going to do in phase one of our country's recovery. We as a church are going to have phase one of our church return. And long as we're in phase one in Orange County, we're going to have a 11 o'clock morning service beginning May 3rd. That's 2 weeks down the road. And so be in prayer about that. Let's see. Let me key this forward a little bit and see if I cannot get us a congregational song. How about Jesus Saves? This morning. It's a wonderful thing to know that you're saved, but it's more we need to let others know that Jesus saves. Listen as they say, Thank you. Jesus saves. Yes, he does. Let's add a few prayer requests this morning. If you have a prayer request, go ahead and type it in there so the others can see it and they'll know what to pray for. Of course, the Phillips family with the death of Brother Bill and Sister Jeanette, but Brother Dave Johnson texted me and asked us to add Pamela Boykin to our prayer list there. So if you have a prayer list, prayer request, go ahead and start typing those in. Remember our missionaries. We certainly need to keep our missionaries on the prayer line, and we need to pray for them more so than before. Our first responders, medical people, those that are on the front lines, pray for Haley, my daughter, still up in New York. They moved her to the ER section there in New York. Also, my son-in-law, pray for him. It's a possibility that they'll be activating him into the guard here soon. And so be in prayer for them, those two, all the ones on our medical list and the cancer list there, the unspoken. We have several unspoken on our list there. And then so go ahead and add to your prayer list there our first in-person service May 3rd, 11 o'clock, that we will be careful, clean, conscious about each other and staying our distance, but so we can join together and worship God. Let's go ahead and have a song here. Let's sing Trust and Obey. Trust and obey. And that's what we all are trying to do, is trust and obey the Lord. And we are thankful that he walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. Whenever we don't have an understanding of what our next step is, we obey and trust the Lord by faith and walking by faith and not by sight. And so we're thankful that this morning you're here with us. We're going to be in Luke chapter number 24 this morning, if you'll take your Bibles. Luke chapter number 24. And go ahead and try to get this thing in order so when I get done preaching, I don't have to try to fast forward anything. All right. We're going to talk about the risen Christ this morning. Of course, we know we have a risen Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, but I want to kind of look into it a little bit so that we can see exactly what Christ was like right after the resurrection. And of course, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he was like this right after the resurrection, he's certainly like this today. So Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 13 this morning. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. That's about 7 or 8 miles. Probably about a 2 to 3 hour walk if you walked it at a good stride. 7 and 8 miles for me would probably be about a half day's walk there. Verse 14. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Of course, that's about the resurrection, about the crucifixion, and about the death of the Lord. They're talking about it. Verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these, that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, these things. And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all people. Verse 20. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But he trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all these, this, today is the third day since these things are done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they arose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. What was Jesus like after the crucifixion? You know, that had to be a tremendous victory. Now, our faith is our victory. I mean, Jesus came as in humble birth, born in a manger, born unto a carpenter, by a virgin, born to a virgin there at Mary. He had a compassionate life. He was approachable. You remember when the little children wanted to come to Jesus and the disciples said, don't y'all get the children away. And Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. He was approachable. You remember the woman pressing through the crowd and reaching for the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ just to touch the hem of the garment. So he was an approachable person before the resurrection. But he had gone through a terrible shaming and battering by the Roman centurions and by the mocking of the Jews. And now there's this great victory. Up from the grave he arose, just like he said on the third day. He said these things must take place, and he rose from the grave, and what a victory. I mean, what a day. There hasn't been a day of such victory since then, when death, hell, and grave was conquered by the power of God. You know, many times when people are victorious, they work hard, they achieve, they get to a point, and they're not approachable anymore. You can't come to them. I think about sometimes how pro athletes, which is amazing. We need doctors and nurses right now, but we're doing pretty good without the pro athletes. But sometimes when they achieve and they get greatness, you try to get a autograph of some sort to them, and they don't even act like you're existing. So I want to see with this victory with the Lord Jesus Christ, and his victory gives us victory. For our faith is our victory, and our faith is in the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let us look at these passages just for a little bit and see if we cannot figure out how the Lord acted then on that day and how he interacts with us during this time. Look at verse number 15, if you would. Verse 15, the Bible says there in Luke chapter 24, verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went to them. Now, this is two disciples that are walking down the Emmaus Road. They're headed home. He had not yet appeared to the 11. Isn't this amazing? He comes to those disciples or followers who are a little bit, maybe we'd say, further down the totem pole, a little bit down the ladder of spirituality, who knows. He didn't appear to Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, which, you know, would have been one of the first. If he had appeared to them first, we wouldn't have had no argument with that. I mean, it was Joseph and Nicodemus who went to Pilate and sought out the Lord's body that they might bury him. It would have been nothing for the Lord to appear and unto them and to spend time with them, but or the 11, but he did not. He comes near to two men that are walking down the road, heartbroken. I mean, this should have been a day of rejoicing. This should have been a day like Palm Sunday whenever they were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. I mean, this is the third day. They even said that in verse number 21, halfway through the verse. And besides all this, they said, today is the third day since these things were done. Should have been some shouting, some praising, some glorifying of God that, hey, he said that he would rise again the third day. But it's almost as if his disciples didn't believe it. It seemed as though his enemies believed it a little more. You remember they went back to Pilate and said, listen, we need to set a seal. We need to set a guard because this here deceiver has said that in 3 days he's going to rise again. They tried to play it off, and they tried to say, like, well, the disciples might come and steal the body away. The disciples fled the night of Gethsemane and didn't join themselves back up to the Lord. They were fearful and afraid and during this time, and trembling, sad at the loss of their Savior. And so a day that should have been rejoicing and triumphing and singing and praising, you find those these disciples retreating. They're headed back home. They're on their way back to their house down the road of Emmaus there. And then we notice that Christ, this is what it says, Christ drew near to them. I am grateful for the times whenever I have been alone and afraid and been in doubt and been fearful of the hour that my Lord draws near to me. He leaves the 99 and he comes and seeks out that one that is lost and, you know, and the one that's hurting and broken and one that is seeming not knowing and understanding what the Lord is doing it at work. He comes and he draws near to them. And just like we see here, he joined himself to these two disciples, which is amazing that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ did not make him a remote figure, did not make him somebody unapproachable. He did say to Mary, he said, "This, don't touch me because I've not yet ascended up to the Father there." But later on in this passage, you'll notice that if you just read on and study it, he joins himself to the 11. And as he's there, he says, "Listen, touch me. I'm not a spirit, flesh and blood. You feel I'm not a ghost here." And so he was approachable during this. His triumphantness, his power, the resurrection. Can you imagine the Lord dying there? It is finished, giving up the ghost, buried in that tomb. And on the third day, by the power of God, the resurrection took place. And up from the grave, he arose. How much power of God that took to conquer death, hell, and the grave. And yet, when the Lord is with the disciples, we notice he's still tender. He's still compassionate as he approaches them, and he's there and he approaches these men. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, that is our Lord today. There is no difference in this passage we're reading and how he interacted with the disciples there on the road to Emmaus and how he deals with us. The reason I believe he approached these two first is so to allow you and I to know that, hey, you don't have to be somebody with a title. You don't have to be somebody that has some place or position. The Lord is interested in you. He's concerned about you as a person. He doesn't give a monopoly on the Holy Spirit of God to pastors, to evangelists, to deacons, to song leaders. Dear friend, he saves to the uttermost. And when he saves you, the Holy Spirit of God moves in and lives within you. And the Lord Jesus Christ wants to commune with you. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, I believe it is, that we have an advocate with the Father. And that advocate is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's very compassionate, very tender, dear friend. He wants to draw nigh to us. That's why the Bible teaches us if we'll just humble ourselves and draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to us and He'll exalt us and lift us up in due time. So the first thing I notice about our Savior, the risen Christ, is that He walks with men. Dear friend, He wants to use you and I. He wants to take us and make us a vessel fit for His use. And so be careful, dear friend. Cleanse yourself, watch yourself, walk circumspectly, run to the Lord. When you falter and fall, seek forgiveness because He's faithful and just to forgive, and He desires fellowship with you and I. So I see that the Lord, He desires to walk with men. The second thing I notice in verses 17 through 25 is that the Lord, the risen Savior, just like before. Remember, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the third day when he rose from the grave, he's not going to be any different than he was 3 to 4 days prior to that. Where did we find him? With the disciples. He told Peter, James, John, hey, come with me. Let's go a little further. Let's spend some time in prayer. So he wants to spend time with men. He wants to spend time with you and I. And he wants us to know that he is concerned about our problems. What did he ask the two disciples there? I mean, he got right down to the nitty-gritty of the situation. Look in verse number 17, if you will. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? He was concerned with their problems. Well, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that our Lord Jesus Christ is concerned with the problems of mere men and women after the resurrection? The Bible teaches us that he's seated at the throne of God, making intercession. And listen, there is far greater servants of God than you and I. I fall in line with the Apostle Paul. I don't know how the Holy Spirit of God could have moved upon Paul and allowed him under inspiration to write, I am chiefest of sinners. When God in his foreknowledge knew that Lane Stockton was coming along. I don't understand how in the world. Because we're all chiefest of sinners. We're all failures. And all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. Yet, God is concerned with our problems. Note the question. What manner of communications are these? You remember many times throughout the Gospels that Jesus would say to certain people, and say, why thank you? You know, many times we don't speak. Many times we don't verbally communicate what we're thinking. But different, I'm going to tell you, God knows our thoughts. You know, the Bible teaches us that the Word of God is powerful and sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it gets down to the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows our heart, and he's concerned with your heart. Some of us are strong on the inside, but we're broken on the inside. God is concerned with you. And he said, what manner of communication is this? How many times have you or I said this in the darkest of the valleys? I am not sure God even cares. I think that is, we're just like the disciples. I'm thankful that the Lord chose sinful men to follow him and call them disciples and use them. You remember the storm was raging and Jesus was asleep and the disciples said, I don't even think he cares if we perish. I don't even think we're the same way, dear friend. And the Lord is concerned. Many of you have thought this. I don't know what's going on. I've lost my job. I've been furloughed. I don't know if I'm going to have a job next week. I don't know if God even cares. You may have not verbally said it, but in your heart, you may have thought it. God is concerned with our problems. He understands you have rent due. He understands that you have electricity due. He understands you have gas that you have to put in your car. Listen, we got a God that created the universe and all there is. I mean, the atoms and the molecules of this world that are held, that hold everything together, they are held and consist by Him according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. All things consist by our Lord. He understands where you are, but He wants us to seek first the kingdom of God. Draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. I mean, he's here. Their problem. They think the Lord is dead. Look, the Bible says here in verse 12. Then arose Peter and ran. Verse 16. But their eyes were holden. that they should not know him. These are the disciples of the Lord. These are followers of Christ. They had seen him possibly heal lepers and feed the 5,000. No, they weren't the 12 apostles, but they were followers of Christ. Remember in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, whenever the church, the first church was gathered together, they did a head count and there was 120 of them. They were there. And so not all of them were apostles. They sat first in the church apostles there, but there were other followers. He's just concerned about them. I'm telling you, the Lord is just concerned about the ones that clean the bathroom here at Lock Haven Baptist Church and keep the nursery in Lock Haven Baptist Church, as he is about the pastor sitting behind this desk. He's concerned about you. But sometimes we see the problem and we're blinded to the Lord. He's walking with them. He's talking with them. What has the Bible told us? He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Christ is concerned. Listen, the disciples here, I believe, when you look at it, you read it, they were in a state of depression. I mean, they're sad. They don't even recognize the Lord Jesus Christ for who he is, and had seen him face to face. Listen, we're all often as guilty as these two disciples. We mope and we dread and we wonder, is God even dead? I mean, I think some Christians actually believe that when this coronavirus took place, God took a vacation. I think some of us even think he shut down the cruise line so that he could take a cruise somewhere. Listen, God is on his throne. God is alive and he's concerned for you and I. But we fret and we stew and we ponder and we wonder till our eyes are beholden. I mean, we're captivated by the problem and we're not seeing how good and a great a God that we have. First thing I notice about this here passage in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 13 to 34 is that Christ walks with sinful men. He was a friend of sinners before he died and rose again. He's a friend of sinners now. He leaves the 99 and he seeks sinful men and women that they might be saved. And after you're saved, he's concerned. He cares for you. He's troubled when you're troubled. He says he wants to bring comfort. You remember he said, I must go away that the Comforter may come. He's concerned about the Holy Spirit of God. He lives. Dear friend, and we ought to remember that he is alive forevermore. Forevermore. Third thing in verse number 32. Find your place in 32, verse 32. Luke chapter number 24, verse number 32. Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? You remember old Matthew sitting at the table of the publican's table gathering up the taxes, and the Lord looked at Matthew, Levi, and said to him, follow me. And a fire was lit in his heart. And he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember here as we looked at this passage, they didn't even know who he was. They had no idea who the Lord was. And Christ sets the heart of men on fire. I'm telling you, during this time of quarantine, during this time where we should be still and know the voice of God, God desires to set your heart afire once again, like you was when you first was born again and bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we like it to church in Revelation. We've left our first love and there's no fire within us, no desire to be close to the Lord like we was, and how their hearts needed to be rekindled. Can you imagine with me for a moment as we read here, as they constrained him. In verse 29, they didn't know this was the Lord, but he had already started expounding the scriptures to them in verse number 27. In verse number 29, they constrained him, not because he was the Lord, but because they were concerned. There was a compassion, a concern that began to grow within them. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, the more and closer and the more time we spend with God in Christ and cultivating our relationship, the more concern we have with those around us. And they constrained him that he would not go forward and that he would spend the night with them. The Bible says here in verse number 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, he blessed it and brake, and he gave them. Can you imagine for just a moment? Just a moment. There you are with the Lord, and you don't even recognize him. He's talked with you about the prophets from Moses all the way up to there. You beg him to stay, and behold, he stays with you. He blesses the bread. And as he blesses the bread, can you imagine just for a moment as his robe slipped up and they saw, listen, they saw those nail prints in his hands. And the Bible says, dear friend, as they saw him, they their eyes were opened. I wonder, dear friend, are we seeing Jesus in this dark hour? He is the light of the world. He is not the darkness that fills this world. He is the light of the world. Is your heart so hardened this morning that you cannot even know the love of God like you used to know it before, dear friend? I'm going to tell you, seek forgiveness because he wants to rekindle your heart. He wants to use you once again. And how did he do it, preacher? I'll tell you how he did it. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. Look with me just for a moment over in verse 44. Now he's done appear to the apostles. He's gathered up to the 11 and those that was with him. Look what happens. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms concerning me. Verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Dear friend, in Matthew chapter 4, when the Lord Jesus Christ was fasting and wanting to spend time with the Father, at the end of his fasting period, the devil come unto him and brought temptation after temptation. And the Lord Jesus Christ used the Word of God to rebuke the devil at that time. And during this time, he uses the Scriptures. Listen, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I wonder this morning, dear friend, with all this time we've had to ourselves, and all this time we've been off, and all this time that we've been furloughed, how much time are you spending with God in the Word of God, that your heart might be moved and burn again from the Scriptures within? For the Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Is your heart on fire for Christ this morning? Let me tell you something, dear friend. Hearts that are on fire for Christ are hearts that are changed. You'll be different. You will not be the same. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. The very author of the Scriptures live within inside of us. He gave them assurance and power. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, you get along with the Word of God like you should. You meditate on Scripture like you should. You study to show yourself approved like you should. Dear friend, it will change your direction. Look what the Bible says. They left Jerusalem, headed down to Emmaus. The Lord joined himself to them. It's late in the evening. They begged the Lord. They constrain him. Stay with us. They spent time with him, listening to the Scriptures. The Bible says when their eyes were open, listen what it says in verse number 33. And they rose up, the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Wait a minute. I done told you the Bible said in verse 13 it was 70 furlongs. I know we don't have no furlongs, but we got miles. 7 to 8 miles they done walked to their house. But when their heart got on fire by God, Christ mused and took the scripture and caught a fire within inside of them. The Bible says they arose that same hour. Wait, it was late in the evening. They didn't want Jesus to go nowhere. They arose the same evening, dear friend, and returned to Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, a heart on fire for Christ will drive you to fellowship with believers in Christ. Why? The Bible says that your spirit and my spirit and the Spirit of God bears witness that we are the children of God. Hearts on fire for God. Jesus did that before the crucifixion. He did it after the resurrection. And He's doing it today. He's doing it today. And He shall do it forevermore. But dear friend, He works through the power of His Word. Some of us discount Scripture like it's a comic book. The Word of God is absolute. Jesus Himself said, "The Word of God shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall be done away with. But the Word of God shall be and shall remain. Not a jot nor a tittle shall pass away from the Word of God." Three things I noticed from our Lord Jesus Christ. Three things I noticed. That after the resurrection, just like before the crucifixion, He walked with men. After the resurrection, just like before the crucifixion, He cared for men. Just like after the resurrection and before the crucifixion, He set hearts on fire. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not caught by surprise by what's going on in this world. This is a spiritual battle that we're facing. This goes beyond just human death. This is a spiritual battle. And we need not be caught by surprise. We need to be faithful to the Word of God. Faithful to spending time with Christ. Faithful to a risen Savior because He lives forevermore. Listen as the ladies sing, "Be still," and we'll talk a little bit afterwards and have a word of prayer. Well, amen. Stand still and let God move. This evening at 6 o'clock, my family and I, my wife and my children, my girls that are home, we're going to be outside in the back of the church underneath about 8 oak trees. We're going to have a couple of song books there. We're going to have our Bibles. And we're going to sing a cappella. And we're going to read scripture aloud together. Now, you don't have to come. I'm not telling you to come. This is not May 3rd. May 3rd, 11 o'clock, we as a church are going to have our first in-person service. But tonight, I believe the Lord laid this on my heart last week, and I should have listened to Him then, and I'm not putting it off again. We're going to meet, my wife and my children and I are going to be in the back of our pickup truck or sitting inside the van. I don't know what we will be there. If you want to come, drive your car over, bring your Bible, stay in your car. I'm not asking you to get out of the car. We're not coming over to shake hands and lovey-dovey on each other. This virus is still happening. But I'm going to read my Bible aloud out there under those trees, and they're going to follow along with me, and we're going to read these scriptures together. We're going to sing a few songs a cappella, and we're going to pray together underneath them oak trees, right out there behind the church, right in front of the water pump, the well house. So if you want to join me at 6 o'clock, you're welcome to join me. Stay in your car, bring your Bible. We're going to spend some time together. So you be blessed. Remember this Wednesday night, 6:30, Sister Dyer and Jared will be live with our Bible story time. 7 o'clock, pastor's study right here again, 7 o'clock. 3 o'clock next Saturday, Sister Kim in prayer time with the ladies on her Facebook page. And then we're going to go from there. We're going to just serve God, and we're going to let Him be in charge of what's going on around here. Like He is the sovereign God of the universe. This virus didn't put Him there, and it didn't remove Him. He is still God. Let's go and join ourselves together in prayer, and you have a blessed day. Father, we love You. We thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for Your love. We ask You, God, to please bless Sister Jeanette Phillips, Lord, as she's going through a heartache. I mean, I cannot imagine 69 years married to the same person, and you wake up this morning and they're not beside you. Lord, I know Brother Bill's in heaven. She knows Brother Bill. She's got that confidence. But it does not stop the heartache and the pain. And we ask You as a church family, I ask You as their pastor, Lord, would You please comfort her heart? Thank You for allowing us to meet this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have a blessed Sunday.